that in mind, and then sharing time. Does anybody have anything that they would like to share this morning? Just note that Peter Thiessen's funeral is coming up at the Douglas Mennonite Church on January 8th. We did sing our memorial hymn, but we are keeping it in the bulletin because Christmas has been busy and we might forget these dates. So please just keep that in your mind as well, on your calendars. Then we were going to have children's story, but they're all sleeping in today. Or playing with Christmas toys is probably more than sleeping in. So we will sing in number 189 in the blue hymn book, "To Us a Child of Hope is Born." Loving God, today we rejoice in the light of your word made flesh. We rejoice in the coming of Jesus and that through him you are revealed. Fill our hearts with love for you and for others, that we may experience the shalom that you intended for the world. We grieve with the families of Hans Rempel, Rudy Lage, Louise Peters, and Peter Thiessen as they feel the recent loss of husband, dad, grandfather, great-grandfather, wife, mum, grandmother, great-grandmother, brother, sister, uncle, and aunt. We feel the loneliness and loss of independence along with our family members and friends who reside in nursing homes. Susanna Buhler, Anna Dick, Hildegard Knopf, Peter Sawatsky, Heidi Schroeder, Jacob Dick, Walter Fast, Louise Lage, and Annie Stein. We also keep close to us those in our church family who perhaps feel separated from us as they have difficulty leaving their homes and therefore can no longer worship with us on a weekly basis. Renew our spirits, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll have the offering now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trudy. I always enjoy listening to you play. Luke 13:6-9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it and did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should we use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down."
Good morning. Wow, this is very relaxing this morning in here. So sit back, relax, and see if you can meditate a little bit. Last Sunday I was at Betania, and I had to decide of, I always have two brief meditations, one in German and one in English. And so I thought of something that I wanted to share with them. And then there was a text from Timothy, and it spoke about the gift of grace. And I thought, well, we are right before Christmas, and we're expecting gifts. And what gifts do we expect? And I say the only gift you really need is a gift of grace. So I've continued today on that theme, different text, same theme. Now, some of you already noticed that I didn't follow the prescribed outline. There was a different topic in the text planned for today. I took the freedom without asking anybody. Sorry, Marv. To talk about something else, and that is because this time we are close to Christmas, and I'm glad we're singing all the Christmas hymns today, and the Christmas tree is shining and the candles are burning, because it reminds us of God's grace coming into our midst. But we're also the last Sunday of the year, and it is a good occasion to simply reflect on time and as it passes and what it does. So the text that you heard today is a parable that Jesus told, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it. But when you look back on this last Sunday of this calendar year, if you look back on the year, reflect on it now. How good has it been? Where would you place it if you had to score it on a scale of 1 to 10? What would 2018 be? 8 or 9 out of 10? In other words, was it a really good year? Maybe it was good because you had success in your business. Or you had a good year at the school. Or you had good family relationships. And you reconciled with your brothers and sisters. Maybe you developed new friendships and made discoveries. It would be a good year. 2018 was a year that included a lot of exciting things, new challenges, tasks completed, perhaps a great holiday. Or maybe you rate this year, past year, 8 out of 10, compared to the previous year, which was not good at all. Or maybe you give 2018 a 5 and say it's same old, nothing changed. It just continued. That's good too. If it didn't get worse, then it's something to be thankful for. But nothing exciting happens, so you're not jumping up and down for joy. The older I get, the less I jump up and down. You know. Perhaps 2018 was a year that deserves only a 2 out of 10. Because it was a dreadful year. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. The year included tragedy, sickness, loss of friends, marriage problems, or the kids were just impossible, or the parents were impossible, or you had a death in the family. How would you rate your year? Think back and check what kind of person you were in 2018. You know, I'm switching now from looking at what was the year to us to asking the questions, who was I? Do you have some regrets? If you could do the year over, would you do things differently? Would you behave differently? Would you show more understanding, care more, been more patient, less critical, been more supportive and helpful? When I reflect on my year, I would think, yes, I could have done some of those things a little better than I did. Sorry about that. And how was your relationship with God this past year? Did that flourish and grow during 2018? Or did it just hover much the same place as in the previous year? Or perhaps, did it actually slide down on the scale? You hear God's word through reading the Bible, through worship services on Sunday, perhaps on TV or the internet. You have many occasions to hear it, to worship. But what did you do with the opportunities given? How was your relationship to God? Put it differently, how much did my life reflect the fact that I am God's child? Did I speak as God's child? Did I act with the love of God in my heart? Did I interact with others with the same love and forgiveness that Jesus has shown towards me? It's a good time to think about these things. How did I act? How did I live out who I am called to be? As we stand at the threshold of another year, Jesus tells us a parable. It's brief, but its points are clear. Jesus says, a man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard. Apparently they did that in those days. And the roots go differently from the vine to the fig tree, so it didn't necessarily interfere too much. But a fig tree throws shadows. A shade can be good and bad. It will suck out the water, and this was an arid area. So humidity in the soil was important. And he comes year after year, for 3 years in a row, and looks for fruit, and his patience wear thin, and he says, for 3 years I'm looking for fruit, and there is none. What's it doing here? Cut it off. Cut it down. Why should that tree remain standing? Why should take it up space, using up the goodness of the soil, if it is not serving any purpose? What's the point of having a tree that should bear fruit but does nothing? Perhaps you have had some trees like that. And one day you decided, this is it, I have had enough, and you grab your saw. Today we didn't perhaps take the axe, we take the chainsaw. And get rid of that tree and pull out the roots. Get rid of it. It's doing more harm than good. Jesus' words, cut it down right now and stick a match to it, cuts deeply. The owner has a right to be disappointed and angry with that useless tree. It's no wonder he wants it destroyed. But as we listen to Jesus' story, his parable, he is not just talking about a fig tree, is he? He's talking about you and about me. And we are led to ask ourselves, am I bearing fruit? Am I keeping sucking up all the nutrients of the soil in which I have been planted, and when I am going to show some kind of fruit to match the years I have been standing in God's garden and all the opportunities that I have been given? And just to be sure, none of us should look at our neighbor at this point. It's not them we are concerned about. You know, I find in discussions, he always said, yeah, I have actually had people say after a sermon, that was a good sermon. I wish so-and-so had been here. You should have heard that. No. Let's look at our own lives, not somebody else. Why should I take up space in this world if I do not bring any fruit? And then Jesus takes a breath, and he has a gardener coming in. And the gardener says, leave it alone for one more year. Leave it alone. That means don't judge. It actually means forgive it. Accept it for what it is and see if it cannot change for the better. He says, I will dig around it and I will fertilize it, and perhaps next year it will bear fruit. And with that, Jesus ends the story of the fig tree, leaving his listeners and us to ponder the generosity, the patience, and the grace of the gardener. They are struck by the words of the gardener when he says, leave it alone. They know now that Jesus wasn't simply telling a story about a fig tree, but he was talking about God and the way he forgives us, even though we don't deserve that generosity and kindness. You see, God has given us some wonderful soil for growth. In Colossians chapter 2, we are told, therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in it in thanksgiving. As God's people, we build our lives on Jesus. Our very existence, our day-to-day living, our very breathing moment has its source in him. We occupy valuable space in the garden of God. The soil is rich, and our roots are there, and the owner of the garden is looking for some fruit. God wants to see in us the kind of fruit that he would expect to see from someone who has been made new and holy through the blood of Jesus, from someone who has been given a new life by the living Jesus. We celebrate Christmas, and we are still in the Christmas season. We celebrate this coming of grace and compassion of God into our midst. We celebrate the affirmation that we are not left alone and to our own devices, but God has come to us and he invites us and he embraces us, he adopts us and makes us his children. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. And as we enter a new year, and as we reflect on the old year, what does it mean for the way we live and how we behave? As 2018 draws to a close, he sees all too well what has happened in the past. How our relationships haven't always been what they could have been. I think if God looks in our lives, he has seen the arguments that we have had with each other. He has seen the impatience that we bring to bear. The inability to be generous when it comes to forgiveness and the reconciliation. I'm always amazed on what we remember of every slight that happened to us in our life. My memory is getting a bit fuzzy sometimes. And sometimes I'm halfway through a sentence and then I forgot what I wanted to say. But I tell you, all those hurts that I experienced way down to my childhood, I still remember. All the good things that happened, oh yes, if somebody reminds me, then they, oh yeah, that happened too. And that was good, yes, yes. But I need no help in remembering all the slights and hurts. Is that similar to you in your life and your experience? We remember all the pain and all the slights and all the hostility, all the negative things. But are we not called to be generous and forgiving? Are we not called to work towards reconciliation? Isn't that who we are as children of God? Sometimes I see the lack of gratitude, and perhaps you experience that these past days. You have done things for your family members, and they don't seem to appreciate it at all. Or somebody is standing for hours in the kitchen, slaving away, making a great meal, and then they come down, sit down, and nobody seems to care. They're all occupied with their own thoughts and wants. And never see the gift that they have received. A lack of gratitude. Haven't we been guilty of that? Some may complain about the disrespect that we have received from others, but have we been respectful to those people who are a pain in our necks? The disconnection between you and the church and what God offers through his church. Haven't we taken that for granted and simply sometimes forgot about it? He has seen it all that has unfolded in this past year. And I must say, we should all be a little bit embarrassed, I think. But the beauty is, he forgives it all. He forgives it all. All your faux pas, all your difficulties, all your problems, all your selfishness, he forgives it. Let me work on him a bit more, the gardener says on that tree. I will fertilize, I will water, I will dig, and perhaps there will be a different result next year around. We have been assured that we are forgiven, accepted every time we hear God's word. Every time we go to communion, your sins are forgiven. We have drawn on those riches, and still there's somebody in our lives who we haven't forgiven yet. Still, there's that relationship that remains fractured. Still, no words are spoken between you and the person with whom you have fallen out. Still, the anger wells up whenever you think of that person or hear his or her name. Doesn't that happen? what magnificent love God shows us. You really must think we are something special. And we are. That's what Christmas is about. In all humility, in all simpleness, God enters into our life and says, you are worth it. We are something special. What love that takes me and adopts me and calls me his child. Think of that. That love of God is so precious to us, especially when we have cried out in despair and pain and need the reassurance that everything will be all right when we have no hope. But how many times has somebody cried out for some love and we have been so busy enjoying that love ourselves that we haven't heard the cry? We are looking for caregivers. People who make it their task to listen for that cry, to be there, to lend a shoulder and an ear. It's true that there have been times when we have really felt down, really alone. And somebody just told me that somebody at old folks' home had said, growing old is no fun. It's a dirty business. Yes, it is. Why? Because we are ever more isolated, ever more lonely. Our friends die away. We cannot take care of ourselves. We are dependent on others. We cannot go, leave, or come as we please, but we are always, always dependent on what others say, want, and do. And that's no fun. And then we are deaf to their cry for company, to their loneliness, and to the despair that is all around us. Or the people on the streets of Winnipeg, we have no roof over their heads, no place where they know they will be warm and protected. They don't know where the next meal will come from. And we are annoyed by their presence. Give the tree one more year, the gardener in the vineyard said. The owner wanted to chop it down, but the gardener isn't going to give up. He's going to dig around it. Turn over the soil, use some fertilizer, show it some more tender, loving care, and give it another chance. Isn't that just typical of God? The soil may be brown and hard-baked, but he is going to send rain. There's going to be a change. The gardener is determined and is going to see to it. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, 5. He who remains in me, and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The key is to be connected to Jesus. He is the one who can enable us to be what we ought to be. We need him to help out our branches to bear fruit. Without him, we will rate each year that passes below 5 on the 1 to 10 scale. Every day we are inclined to want to break the relationship that God has with us and to turn our back on the way he wants us to be as his children. How many of you are parents and have been disappointed? Sometimes when your children did not share your values, did not go the way that you had shown them, and went totally different directions. How often have we felt that others are like the fig tree that brings no fruit? But we are that fig tree that fails to produce good fruit. Thank God there is a gardener who has patience and faith in us. Jesus gives himself for us. That is a Christian basic message. He comes to us in all humility. He shares our wants and needs, our pain and our hopes. And on the cross, he suffers with us and for us. You might say he waters the ground with his own blood. He does everything, we do nothing. And that is a gift of grace. In Christ, we are made beautiful, fruitful gardens. He digs around so that the love of God pours out of us and begins to work in us, and we become lovely people. You know, I do like this community. We are experiencing the loveliness of you, the caring. How many of you have shown that you think of others? How many of you have given Christmas cards? And I apologize, I didn't give you any. I didn't know if I should give everybody one or none. So I decided I'm lazy. I give none. But I thank you, and I appreciate it. And it goes beyond words how much I appreciate it, because that is what we crave, that people notice we are alive. And you show that. And that is beautiful. That is a fruit that God is looking for. And through Jesus, each one of us can become that lovely person, that kind of fertilizer. That is kind of a fertilizer that helps others to grow and bring fruit. So you don't even see all the final consequences of your good behavior. So let us encourage each other, and let's remind each other that we are all children of God. We are brothers and sisters. We need to be there for each other. And we need to be open for the need of others around us. The parable of the fig tree makes it quite clear that we have been unfruitful, unfaithful. Yet in spite of our lack of fidelity, God is faithful. Be sure of this. Jesus didn't just come to us. He waits for us. Spade in hand, wheelbarrow by his side. Gardening season is soon coming. That's why I use the imagery. Sorry. And he is ready to bring us into 2019. That's a promise. Armed with that promise, we can step forward into the new year, ready to let him do the work in us that only he can do. Thank him. And thanks to him for his goodness in giving you, giving us, one more year of grace. Let's grasp it. Amen.
Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, hymn book, in the blue hymn book 206. Please rise for the benediction and remain standing for our final hymn, God Be With You, 430. Go into the world with the peace of Christ in your hearts, spreading love into the darkest corners and bringing the kingdom of God to our world. Go in peace. Amen.